Shavua Tov, Gotabach. This is Rabbi Eitan Toker from Brooklyn, New York. And tonight will be our very first opportunity to learn together for those of us who are joining us on Zoom and those who will be hearing it otherwise. I'd like to take a look at a medrash on the Parsha today, which we read earlier today. And if you are joining us on Zoom, it is up on your screen. And the Medrash states the following, and it's on your screen if you're joining us on Zoom. Pasuk says, Vatikach lo tevas gomer, that Moshe Rabbeinu was put by his mother, by his sister, by whoever, in this tevas gomer, in this wicker basket. And the Pasuk proceeds to tell us that this wicker basket, first of all, it was a wicker basket, and in addition, that the wicker basket was coated with clay and with pitch. So is the Torah into the boat business, telling us how to build little boats? If a detail is mentioned in the Torah, it must have some type of spiritual significance. And so the Medrash, bothered by the fact that the Torah tells us, "Atikach lo tevas goma," she put him in a wicker basket, and she covered it with clay and with pitch, suggests that it's not there just to tell us the specifications of Tevas Moshe, but rather there is some spiritual essence here to be drawn out. What is that spiritual essence? V'lama shel gomeh? Why is it that the Torah tells us it was made from gomeh? It was a wicker basket. So Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, I have one reason. Shechaviv aleihem letzadikim mamonan yoser migufan. To teach us that for tzadikim, their money is worth more to them than their lives, right? Your money or your life? The answer is your money for tzadikim. Now that on its face seems almost inconceivable. Therefore, the Medrash concludes, V'chol kach lama? Why do tzaddikim value their money more than their life? So answers the Medrash, She'ein poshtin yidein bagazel, that tzaddikim, whatever money they earn, they never earn that money in any untoward way. It is always on the highest level of integrity. So what Rabbi Eliezer is teaching us here is that for tzaddikim, integrity is everything. Integrity is everything. It is more important than even their body, or even their guf. That is to say, that integrity is one of the highest values that one can think of. This is not a halachic statement about, what does one do in a case of sakanas nefashos, but this is a moral statement. And the moral statement is about the importance of integrity. Okay, interesting. But then you have to ask the question, why is this a message that is necessary for the Torah to tell us here in this context and not in particular? Okay, so that's Rabbi Elazar's approach. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman Amar, Davarach shehu yachol lamod lifnei rach v'lifnei kasha. Why does the Torah tell us it was made out of tevas goma? This was a wicker basket, says Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, because this material is a davarach. It is soft. It is pliable. It is flexible. And is able to withstand both davarach and davar kasha. It can withstand harsh currents. It can withstand soft currents. It can withstand the more easy situations, and it can withstand the more difficult ones. So Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman saying that the material was chosen specifically because it is excellent for the job. It can both weather difficult and easy weather conditions or easy water conditions. Again, if this is indeed true, so what is the idea behind it? It's not just about specifications for a teva, but clearly, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman is saying is the importance of flexibility and pliability. So if Rabbi Eliezer is telling us a message about the importance of integrity, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman is telling us about the importance of living a life that a person being pliable and flexible. And that's how a person can manage things better. But you have to ask yourself the question, why is this being taught to us all together? So now look at what is the essence. Where did this whole story begin? And the whole story begins about discussing Tevas Moshe. Tevas Moshe is not simply the vehicle through which Moshe, baby Moshe, is going to be saved, but on a metaphorical level, on a midrashic level, on a spiritual level, this is modeling for us the vehicle of redemption, the vehicle of Geula. Moshe's very specific geula in his moment when he was being saved potentially, and geula for Klal Yisrael.
So this is not just simply a discussion between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman about what the teva was made out of, but when one is seeking the vehicle for redemption in a moment of galus, in a moment of exile, what is the overriding factor? Rabbi Elazar says, integrity, integrity, integrity. One must always follow their core values and never waver one iota. And that is the vehicle for geula. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman says, no, when a person is in galus, you got to be flexible. There are times that, you know, that things that we want to do in an ideal chatchila situation just don't exist. It's just not possible. And so here you have two different views. Now, is Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shmuel arguing with one another? Are they complementing one another? I.e., sometimes you have to be, you know, strong to your values and to your convictions, and other times you have to be flexible. Are they complementing one another, or are they arguing with one another? So we have a rule in Talmudic discourse, when we have a machlokas in the Gemara, or even we have two opinions in the Medrash. So if you find the second opinion with Omar after the name, that indicates it's an argument, it's a dispute. So we have here Omar Rabbi Elazar, so that's our position number one. And then we have Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman Omar, so that indicates there's a dispute here. So we have a dispute, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shmuel. But let's go to the final line of this Medrash, where there is no dispute. Atachmara bechemar uvazefes. And the Medrash says, commenting on the Pasuk, that she coated the Teva with clay and with pitch. That's the Pasuk. Atachmara bechemar uvazefes. Tana, we learn. Chomer mibifnim, the zefes mibachutz. There was clay on the inside and pitch on the outside. Kidei, why? Kidei, shelo yariach oso tzadik reachra. So that way that baby Moshe in this teva would not absorb this toxic scent of the pitch which stinks. And here there's no machlokas. So what does it mean there's no machlokas? About what? About how they made the teva? No, it's not about how they made the teva. It's not what the teva is made of. This is not about the specification to how to build a good teva. There's a spiritual message here. And on this point, there is no machlokas. What's the point that there's no machlokas? The pitch is on the outside and the clay is on the inside. So that way the stink of the pitch on the outside will not be imbibed, will not be smelled and impacting the person who's on the inside of the teva. And here, let's go back to our metaphor. The Medrash is saying, because the audience of the Medrash is always the door of Gullus, who are living in the ripples of the Churban. And here the Medrash is telling us, when a person is in Galus and is seeking the vehicle for redemption, there are two ways that one might think about it. Number one is always stick to integrity. That's the vehicle for Geula. Number two is to be flexible. And that's the pathway for Geula. But where there is no dispute is whether the pitch is on the outside or the inside, meaning that whatever decision you're going to make, sometimes the appropriate decision to make in Galus is that Shabbos is Shabbos, and there is no wavering on that. And sometimes the appropriate thing is that Shabbos has to be overridden for whatever reason. But the thought process and the decision-making process, when one must follow integrity, i.e. not wavering on one's principles, or whether one must be flexible, that decision-making process has to be one in which the chomer is bifnim and the zefes is bachutz. It cannot be a decision which is influenced by the stink of the outside world, but rather it must be a decision which inheres from the internal workings of the Torah and the Mesorah. So if we need to hold fast on Shabbos in Galus, then that has to be because that's what the Torah demands of us. And if at times it requires chilul Shabbos and wavering on Shabbos, then it is only because that is what the Torah and the Halacha demands of us. That decision has to be made from mibifnim and not the zefes and not the stink of the outside in influencing tzaddik shebifnim. And this is the message of the vehicle for Geula. The Medrash is telling us a very powerful lesson here, that it is critically important that when one is seeking ultimate geula, when Klal Yisrael is seeking geula, that we know that sometimes there is going to be a need for Rabbi Elazar, Tzadikim Mamonam Yoser Migufan, integrity, and sometimes it's Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman. You have to be flexible, but it always has to be based on a position which is always based on our core values, on our Torah and our Mesorah. That's where it ultimately has to adhere from. And this gets us to a second point and a final point that I want to make, which is that Moshe Rabbeinu, this message is not so much for Moshe Rabbeinu, who's a little baby. This message is for us, the reader, for the generations that are in Golos, that are seeking a message and a teaching and a chizuk and a limud of how to proceed. But there is something about Moshe Rabbeinu further that one can see. And that is, Moshe Rabbeinu was indeed a man, an individual, when he became Moshe Rabbeinu, who everything that inhered from Moshe Rabbeinu came from the core of his neshama that was connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam in a way which is incomparable. Absolute integrity to the core, whatever decision had to be made. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu has two role models, if you will, that in his life that he could potentially look at. One is the Paro role model. He grew up in Paro's house. And the other is Yisro, who became his father-in-law. Now, let's take a look at those two individuals, Paro on the one hand and Yisro on the other. So the Torah tells us Yisro was Kohen Midyan. And Rashi says Yisro was Kohen Midyan, Rav Shebahen. He was a prominent figure in Midyan. Uperash lo me'avodah zarah, and he left the ways of pagan idolatry, v'niduhu me'etzlam. And what did his compatriots do to him? They excommunicated him. Or to put it in common parlance, they canceled him. They canceled him because his truth led him to leaving avodah zarah. And for this, Yisro was canceled. And he was living out in the fields, and that's why the shepherds were threatening his daughters, because he was excommunicated, he was canceled. So this is one type of person that Moshe Rabbeinu connects to in life. Then there's Paro, the Paro type. And the first Paro that we have in our Parsha, it says, Vayakom Melech Chadash Asher Lo Yadas Yosef, that a new king arose who didn't know Yosef. Hayitochein, is it possible? Many answers that are given. But there's a fascinating Medrash. And the Medrash says that you know what it means that a new king arose who didn't know Yosef? That Paro at the time was being pressured by the people to do something about the Jews, about the community of Yosef. And Paro basically says to me, what are you, crazy? Yosef saved us. We owe all of Egypt to Yosef and to his family. You're not going to take some type of action against them? No way. And you know what the masses did? You know what the people of Mitzrayim did? They deposed Paro. They deposed him. Or in other words, they canceled him. And Paro, sitting on a hard wooden bench somewhere, says, you know what? After a few days or a few months, he realized this is not so comfortable. It's much better, the couches in the palace of the king, than sitting on a hard bench in the middle of Times Square. And so Paro caves. And he says, you know what, guys? You're right. And they reinstate him, and he becomes Paro, a new Paro. And he told Yosef, or the equivalent of Yosef and his family, lose my number. I don't know who these guys are anymore. So Paro and the Paro type is a manifestation and a demonstration of what it means to cave on your integrity, to cave on your core values, to cave. So here, Moshe Rabbeinu had two people in his life that he had an opportunity to connect with. You know, he could have either become a son-in-law in the quote-unquote house of Paro, could have become a son-in-law in the house of Kohen Midyan. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the perfect shidduch for him, was Yisro. Because Yisro was a person who understood what it means to have values and to stand by those values. And he left the Avodah Zarah of Midyan. And he was prepared and he did suffer the consequences. But he got the last laugh in the end, Yisro. Paro caved on his values. And he went back into the palace and led the fight against the Jewish people. And Paro doesn't get the last laugh. Certainly, Klal Yisrael gets the last laugh. And this is the final message here. That whether you're Rabbi Elazar, whether you're Rabbi Shmuel, everybody agrees that decisions in life that we make as a vehicle for Geula has to come from our internal core values. whether it's going to be this or that, whatever the decision is, that's almost inconsequential. It's where is that decision coming from? The vehicle to Geula is to live a life in which the decisions that we make and the actions that we take, the maisim that we do, and the life that we live is lived on the core value. Chemar, chomar mibifnim, v'zefes mibachutz. The stink is left outside of the outside world, of the outside culture. We are self-defined. And this is why Moshe is the perfect son-in-law for Yisro, and he was the anti-Paro. And this is a message which resonates not only in the time of Mitzrayim for Moshe Rabbeinu, but throughout the ages. If we are able to take this message of this Medrash and live a life in which our core self is aligned with our core values, our neshama tahorish and asatabi, then perhaps we will be able to hitch ourselves to the boat of Geula, to the vehicle of Geula, and indeed bring it about. B'karav bi'ameinu, amen. Shavua tov to all.